Call You Out on Your Contrarian Shit by Katie Rose Fun, narrated by Rhea314. Fandom, Beyond Evil. Pairing, Han Juwon, Idongsik. The fact of the matter is that there is no real reason for Han Juwon to spend this much time in Manyang. Dongsik knows this better than most, probably better than everyone, if only because he's the one who sees most of Juwon when he comes to Manyang. He's the one who always has a room prepared in his house for when Juwon comes to visit. Because sometimes he visits and stays the night. He always makes the bed before he leaves, sheets tightly pulled over the mattress and comforter maybe neater than it was when he first arrived. He sometimes comes to the house with groceries, his nose wrinkling any time he notices that there's more instant noodles in the cupboard than last weekend. On the morning Dongsik realizes that his favorite view is that of Juwon stumbling around his kitchen, he knows that this has gone on for long enough. The fact of the matter is that Dongsik can't keep Han Juwon forever, even if that absurdly selfish part of him wants to. Because he does want to, of course. Except, Dongsik's not getting much younger, and the calendar days are slowly being crossed out. Just the other day, Dongsik had woken feeling heavier. He's becoming more and more aware of his own body, the kinks and the cracks and the creaks that remind him that the self-destructive habits of his 20s and 30s are finally coming back around with a vengeance. He'll be 42 in the coming spring, and Juwon will be 29 in the summer. 29. Dongsik barely remembers what he'd been doing at 29. Working in Seoul, for sure. Sending money to the nursing home to take care of his mother. Working long days, long nights. Drinking more coffee and smoking cigarettes by the pack. The oldest person he might have been regularly seeing outside of work hours was Nam Sungbae. And it wasn't like whatever Juwon is doing now. Sleeping over at his house, cooking, cleaning, stealing quick glances over bowls of soup and mugs of coffee. Han Juwon will be 29 years old in the summer. Idongsik will be 42. And no 29-year-old man should tie himself down like this. "You're quiet this morning," Juwon says now. And Dongsik's traitorous hand accepts the mug given to him. He smells tea this time around. "New kind," Juwon says, when Dongsik looks at him. "It was recommended to me by a coworker." "Our Inspector Han takes recommendations from coworkers now," Dongsik asks. It's easy, too easy, for him to slip into their usual banter and conversational pokes and prods, which is perhaps another reason why Dongsik thinks it's much more needed for Han Juwon to find someone who isn't about to turn 42 to spend the rest of his days around. "Do you like it?" is all Juwon asks. "It smells nice," Dongsik says. He drinks, and when he lifts his eyes, Juwon's watching him with a partial hopefulness, partial concern, that he very excellently attempts to shield with a glance down at his own mug. It's an almost shy gesture, one that absolutely does not fit the otherwise serious attitude Juwon so often carries himself with. "It tastes good, too," Dongsik assures Juwon. He takes another meaningful drink from his mug, and he can't help but smile when some of that tension releases from the younger man's eyes. "Haigo," Dongsik wants to tease. "Does my opinion matter that much to you?" But he doesn't ask that. Instead, he asks, "So, a coworker recommended it to you. Was it Officer Nam?"
Assistant Inspector Kim, actually," Juwon replies.
It should be a little frightening, the way Dongsik's brain immediately kicks into gear. Assistant Inspector Kim, mid-20s, on the shorter side, her hair always tucked into a bun underneath a police cap. Dongsik wonders who might have started the conversation about tea first. It doesn't hurt to ask.
"How did tea come up?" Dongxik asks, sitting down at the table. I thought you two didn't talk too much.
We don't, Juan replies, taking a seat across from Dongxik. But she is the only one in the station who drinks tea. I asked.
You want to drink tea now?
You need to drink something other than coffee, Juan replies matter-of-factly. It's supposed to be better for your health anyways.
Nag, 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 Dongxik says, his heart twitching. He imagines Juan asking his younger co-worker, the two of them standing off at the desk in the station. He wonders how Juan might have framed the question.
I have a friend. Old partner. Acquaintance.
I know how to make tea on my own, you know. Probably better than you. Juan lifts his gaze up to Dongxik. Oh ho, what a frightening look, with Han Juan's intensely dark eyes, that remain dark even in the morning light. He doesn't look very impressed by Dongxik's half-hearted attempt at a gloat. Anyways, Dongxik looks into his mug. She must have been relieved. Juan's gaze turns blank. That you asked her for a favor, Dongxik clarifies. He gestures to Juan. It's good. People feel more comfortable around others when they're asked for a favor. It makes them feel good and closer. That's important, you know.
I'm not interested, Juan replies.
And damn that smug prince for looking so assured, because Dongxik's heart selfishly tightens. A part of him is pleased, another part of him winces. A large part of him winces at the image of Han Juan brushing off genuine advances from his colleagues. Surely this fool should have learned by now to broaden his social circles.
Are you hungry? Juan asks now,
and Dongxik doesn't even get to answer before the fool retreats back into the kitchen. Dongxik watches Juan's broad back from afar, which is to say, of course, from beside him. It's a week later when Dongxik considers broaching the subject again. It's a little easier for him too, in part because they're surrounded by their friends. Jae-yi's resting on the porch of the lake house, her hair tied up in a loose knot and shirt sleeves rolled up to her elbows. Beside her, Jihua's flopped onto the wood too, hair tucked in a handkerchief. Jihoon is similarly tuckered out, his face streaked with soil. He has given up on even bringing himself to the porch, instead draping himself on the grass. Only Juan, surprisingly, is moving. It must be nice to be that young, Dongxik thinks. Although he knows that youth might not have all that to do with it. Jae-yi's only a year younger than their Juan, of course. And Jihoon's still the maknae. But Juan, even for as tired as he is, still retreats into the house and returns with a tray of chame and a few water bottles.
Our savior, Dongxik says, when Juan passes him a water bottle. Your fridge is a mess, Juan replies.
Dongxik snorts. He untwists the cap of the bottle, relishing in the cool water that slips down his throat. Water is only sweet after too many hours without it, and he drinks maybe 3/4 of the bottle before he remembers to breathe.
Aren't you lucky, Ajishi? Jae-yi says, forcing herself up on her elbows.
She accepts the water bottle Juan hands her. Inspector Han's learned how to take care of everyone well. Dongxik eyes Juan, who's helping Jihoon up the porch. Like everyone else, Juan's a sweating mess. Perspiration beads at his forehead, slips down the side of his face. He's wearing an oversized white shirt, oversized even for him, baggy pants that probably have no right to look as casually nice as they do.
What are you talking about? Dongxik asks Jae-yi, scooting over so Jihoon can sit next to him. Who do you think taught him?
There's a short laugh from Jihua, who's gathered herself up against the house.
Inspector Han, aren't you going to defend yourself?
Don't be so arrogant, Yi Dongxikxi,
Juan says. His voice is closer than Dongxik anticipated,
The young master had kneeled down beside him after moving Jihoon. His eyes flew up to Dongxik's face. Dongxik smirks.
Arrogant? He asks. Who's being arrogant? I'm just telling the...
He never gets to finish. Juwon slips a slice of chumwe into Dongxik's mouth, and Dongxik feels the brush of a light finger touch his lips before it's gone. Before Juwon's gone, passing plates of sweet melon to the others. He doesn't actually feed the others, Dongxik notes. It seems that he is the only one given that honor, and he doesn't know how to feel about that, except when Juwon sits down next to him, Dongxik hopes that Juwon will do it again. Dongxik swallows, coughing as the fruit made its descent down his throat.
Do you want more water? Juwon asks.
No. Dongxik manages. He finishes his own water, his face burning, and it has nothing to do with the unusual heat this weekend.
Thank you.
Juwon nods. He spears a piece of chumwe and chews. I still stand by my statement, Jae says, reaching over for more of the fruit. What a lucky thing to have Inspector Han cutting up fruit for us.
Is it really for us?
Jihua calls lazily from her perch. Inspector Han, did you buy the chumwe yourself?
I went into the store yesterday, yes.
And you left it in Dongxik's fridge? Jihua continued. Her sharp eyes sweep over to Dongxik, a sly smile playing on her lips.
What are you trying to say, Nuna?
Jihoon asks. He's a good partner, Jihua replies. She twirls the toothpick between her fingers, that smile still on her face. Dongxik makes the mistake of glancing at Juwon. He finds the younger man is already watching him, toothpick resting gently against his bottom lip. He's still sweating, and Dongxik wonders if it might be too much for him to wipe it away. It most certainly is. And so his hands remain firmly on his knees. He laughs instead, reaching for another slice of melon.
He is, he replies, which is why he needs to stop wasting all this energy on me.
He spears a chumwe slice.
It's not a waste, Juwon says.
Ah, you say that now, Dongxik says brightly. He bites off a piece of chumwe, and forcing himself to look at Juwon, smiles brightly.
But you know, what are you going to do when you meet a nice girl, and she asks you to do this kind of thing for her?
There is a short silence, not just from Juwon, but from the rest of their group. Dongxik feels the shift in the air immediately, but he doesn't mind. He thinks it's necessary to at least start this conversation. He notes the flicker across Juwon's face and can't help but feel a flash of bitter smugness in his own part. See, Inspector Han? Then Juwon replies loftily,
That won't ever happen.
Oh, don't be pessimistic, Dongxik says, gesturing with his toothpick. You're a handsome, healthy 28-year-old. There'll be someone who comes along eventually. What's your type? We should start searching. Juwon frowns. Dongxik smiles. Come on, he says after a beat. You must have a type. Juwon picks up another slice of chumwe.
And if I do? He asks.
Dongxik smiles again.
See, that's it, he says. Do you prefer taller folks, shorter, athletic types, bookier types?
Juwon looks at him.
Older,
he says simply. Dongxik's voice dies in his throat. Jae coughs. Juwon's gaze remains fixed on Dongxik.
And kind, Juwon says. And annoying.
Dongxik's throat dries. Juwon passes the chumwe slice to Dongxik. He stands up, brushing himself off. He asks,
More water, anyone?
Dongsik doesn't know what to make of whatever happened that weekend. He prefers not to think about it, but that does keep him from asking much more about Juwon and his type. He still remembers the way Juwon had looked at him, the chumwai being slipped into his lips, the heat of his breath near his throat. And now Dongsik is sitting on the stairs, watching Juwon try and fail to keep himself from nodding off. It's actually cute, the way Juwon's head lowers a few centimeters before jerking back up. His hair's grown longer, the gentlest of curls sweeping over his ears and his forehead. They shiver each time Juwon forces himself back up. It takes a certain kind of confidence, Dongsik thinks, for someone to say the kind of things he did in the past weekend, and then show up to the house again. It takes a certain kind of confidence and arrogance and stupidity, and Dongsik is the unfortunate recipient. Dongsik watches Juwon nod off again, before he finally walks over. He knows that Juwon must be very tired, because that's the only reason why the inspector would look so surprised when Dongsik sits down next to him. "Go to bed," Dongsik says. He reaches over, bringing all the papers together. He finds the folder they belong to, and, ignoring Juwon's weak protest, pushes them inside. "These will be here in the morning."
"Yi Dongsikshi."
Juwon rubs his eyes.
"What are you doing?"
"I'm telling you to get some sleep," Dongsik says. "It's late, and you won't be able to help anyone without some proper sleep." Juwon sighs, and Dongsik takes that as enough of an agreement. He pushes the folder aside and helps the younger man up. Juwon stumbles immediately. His legs must have fallen asleep from sitting for so long.
"Careful," Dongsik says.
His hand reaches down to support Juwon's back. The other places itself lightly against Juwon's front. He hears a short inhale, and he's not sure if it came from Juwon or himself. But they make it to the spare room. Han Juwon's room. Then Han Juwon sinks into bed, a low groan slipping from his lips. Dongsik really shouldn't, but he can't help himself. He sits down beside Juwon, his hand still resting on the younger man's back. Stressed. Juwon rolls over onto his other side. Dongsik has to remove his hand, and he wonders if maybe he dingered the younger man. Maybe he touched him in an uncomfortable spot. But Juwon's not rolling away from him. He rolls towards Dongsik instead, his hands cupped near his face. His eyes are heavy, barely open, which almost makes Dongsik laugh. It's an oddly boyish look. And then Dongsik has to remind himself it's boyish because Han Juwon is still young. That keeps him from laughing. "What is it?" Dongsik asks at last.
"Go to sleep." "I will."
Juwon's voice is little more than a breath. Dongsik feels it against his hand. They're both quiet, and Juwon's eyes still aren't completely closed.
"Can you stay here?"
Juwon asks. His words stick to each other.
"Stay here."
Dongsik huffs out a laugh. "In the same bed?" he asks. He brushes aside a stray strand of hair, and then he freezes, because surely this is just another gesture too far. But Juwon's eyes drift closed. He breathes deeply, one hand fumbling for Dongsik's. And Dongsik is trapped, his hand pinned underneath Juwon's seeking palm.
"Gosh, Inspector Han," Dongsik murmurs. "I didn't know you were this clingy. Shouldn't you save this for your girlfriend?"
Juwon makes an angry sound, even half asleep. Then he says something, his voice slightly muffled by the pillow, and Dongsik has to ask,
"What was that?"
Juwon's face reemerges from the pillow. His eyes are half open when he mumbles,
"Don't have a girlfriend. Don't want a girlfriend."
"Is it because you don't think you'll ever get one?" Dongsik asks. He tries to move his hand, but Juwon holds it still.
"Because I told you, you're plenty handsome enough." "Do you think I'm handsome?"
Dongshik pauses. Juan shuffles closer to Dongshik. His cheek touches Dongshik's thigh. If he moves himself up, he could probably rest his head on Dongshik's lap, and the image alone makes him freeze. Han Juan, sleeping in his lap and lazily waking up to find Dongshik asleep. It's a gentle image, which is why Dongshik immediately says,
"Well, other people find you plenty handsome. But do you?"
Dongshik laughs. "Does my opinion matter that much to you?"
"Yes."
Dongshik doesn't know how to respond. He starts with looking down at Juan, whose eyes are a little more open now. His lips are parted too, and Dongshik's tempted to reach forward and nudge his mouth closed. He's also tempted to reply in a million different ways, all of them sounding more painful than the last. "Of course I think you're handsome," Dongshik says, finally. "I wouldn't lie to you, would I?" Juan's quiet. Dongshik forces himself to look at the opposite wall. He wants to pull his hand away, but Juan won't let him.
"But really," Dongshik murmurs, "you shouldn't care about my opinion too much. Like I said, there's probably lines of people just waiting for an opportunity to get to know you.
To hold you like this, with your head practically in my lap, with your hand keeping mine this close.
You have your pick, basically."
Dongshik thinks that Juan's fallen asleep. That's how long it's been since the prince has spoken. But right when Dongshik's about to think of a way to gently move Juan from his thigh, Juan says one last thing.
"What about you?"
"Hmm?" Juan lifts his head, just barely. His eyes are sleepy, but they focus on Dongshik.
"What about you, Yi Dongshikshi?"
he asks.
"Are you in that line, too?"
Dongshik's throat dries. It's way too goddamn late to have this kind of conversation. "Yeah," he starts. "What kind of question is..."
"Dongshikshi."
Juan pushes himself up into a half-sitting, half-leaning position against Dongshik. A tired Han Juan seems to be a clingy Han Juan. All warm breath and warm hands.
"You're my type."
"Ah, there it is."
"You're my type," Juan repeats. "So stop asking me about girlfriends and people. I have no interest in them."
His eyes are so warm, so intense in the dim light of this room. In Han Juan's room, in Yi Dongshik's house. Dongshik tries to smile.
"You have a thing for old men," he asks. "For you."
Dongshik swallows. "Han Juan," he starts. He can't believe they're about to have this conversation this late. "This isn't..." "You have all the time in the world," he thinks. Han Juan is 28 years old, going on 29. Yi Dongshik is 41, going on 42. They have 13 years between them, but more than that, Han Juan is someone who deserves a person who is more whole than whatever Dongshik is. Someone who hasn't lived essentially a half-life for the better portion of 20 years. Someone who can probably bring Han Juan a happy, smooth life that doesn't include dead bodies and ruined minds and... Juan brushes aside a strand of Dongshik's hair, and his thoughts quiet.
"Yi Dongshikshi,"
Juan asks after a beat.
"Yes."
Dongshik's voice is weak.
"Am I your type?"
There are a million ways Dongshik can lie right now. Each lie more painful than the last. The only thing he manages is,
"What do you think?"
Juan smiles. It turns out that Juan thinks this is a very, very good thing. The end. If you've enjoyed the story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post.
Thank you for listening.